Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 1, please. Let's begin reading with verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithon and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. This is what I want to preach on, verse 12. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. I want to use verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. I don't guess a message has to have a title. But I won't preach on the devil has a full-time job helping perfect the people of God. The devil has a full-time job helping perfect the people of God. Did y'all know that he is a defeated foe? He has absolutely been defeated. Praise God. And there's no need of getting too upset at some of his tactics, the way he fights. He don't win. Oh, now, I know there's a few people that have listened and yielded to him, but I'm talking about you that are hanging in there. He don't win. He does not win. You're the winner. Amen. You're the winner. I think that we could go to any prison camp, any prison in the world, and I think regardless of the individual that was in there, you'd find that that individual had some mercy. I really believe he would. I don't care what he'd done, if he's a murderer, a rapist, or any other thing that you could tag on him, I believe that you'd find that the individual had just a little bit of mercy in something. Amen. But the devil has no mercy in anything. But he is a defeated foe. Praise God. He has helped me more than he's hurt me. He didn't intend for it to work that way, but he has helped me more than he's hurt me. He intended for that to work opposite. Amen. But it turned around on him. The devil has a full-time job helping to perfect the people of God. Amen. That's just the way the Lord works it. I mean, he just takes those silly things that he does that's intended to put us down, and God turns it around and He builds us up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd hate to have His job. I love to preach sometimes. Every now and then I love to feel like I've preached. I don't feel that way all the time. I always try to pray longer than I preach. And as you get older, you have to start praying more. Amen. I don't always feel like I've preached after I've tried to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you that He has not done me that much damage. He has helped me. He has helped to build my character. He intended to destroy my character. He intended to wound me so bad Amen. That I could not make it. But what He has done, by the help and the grace of God, He has helped to form the character that I have. Hallelujah. These things that He sends our way, God turns it around and makes it to work to our good. You see, the Scripture says all things work together to the good, to them that are called according to the purpose of God. Hallelujah. That's a full-time job, helping to build the people of God up and helping to perfect them. You see, the devil didn't really hurt Joseph. Now, I know the Scripture says that his feet was hurt in fetters. That's the fleshly part. I'm talking about the other part. Amen. He didn't really hurt Joseph. He helped to develop Joseph. Joseph was fixing to be put in a position that he needed all the help that he could get to be able to maintain that job like it needed to be maintained. Amen. So God used that affliction that the devil intended to destroy him. He used that trial that the devil had sent his way. He intended for it to be sour. He intended to make Joseph bitter. He intended to make it hard on him. But I'll tell you what happened, brother. He mellowed him out and made something out of him. The devil has a full-time job of helping to perfect the people of God. I'd hate to know that I never did get a victory over some people. I'd hate to know that I never did win over some of them. But there's some that he never wins over, brother and sister. You see, God does not care near as much for what we have to suffer as He does how we act and react to the problem. He didn't want Job really to have to go through that. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He didn't really want Job to have to go through that. But He didn't care near as much about what Job went through with right there as He did how Job went through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. When old Job is all said and done, brother, I want to ask you a question. Who won, the devil or Job? Who won? I want to ask you a question. Who's going to win in this? The devil or the people of God? You're a better man today if you're taking the afflictions of the righteous like you need to. You're a better man today than you was when they started. If you're taking them like you need to, you're better today than what you was when they started. Don't you know that aggravates the devil? Don't you know that makes him mad? Hey! If he had any goodness about him, it'd tear him up. He don't have an ounce about him. He got no mercy at all. I wish I could drink that stuff if it'd help me something like that preacher brother of ours does. It's a bottle of oil I'm talking about here. It don't help me to preach. It sure don't hinder him. Seems like it sets him afire. Man, do you realize what the devil's going to have to do to try to stop this bunch of people right here? How would you like to have his job? How would you like to look around and see 800,000? What we got here, brother? 800? 600 or 800? How would you like to look around in one building with 600 or 800 people that really wants the same thing? Thank God, they've got their mind made up to gold anyhow. Amen. How would you like to tackle this bunch this morning? How would you like to tackle these men? Thank God that have put their lives in this from their youth. How would you like to tackle these singers and these musicians that practice hour after hour after hour and said, oh God, help me to be a blessing. Lord, take that and use that and lift somebody's spirit up. How would you like to tackle that kind of a group? I'm telling you, he's got a hard job, brother, and he loses, thank God, and we are the winners in this. He didn't intend for it to turn out in Daniel's case like it did. He didn't intend for it to turn out that way. He helps to build our character. one of the deacons from my home church is here this morning. And my daughter asked me, said, "Daddy, you going to come as long as Brother Booth Stewart's come?" He's 88. And said he intended to make it to at least 90. Wonder what the devil thinks about Booth Stewart. I wonder what the devil thinks about you, son. You talking about bruising his head, you've laid it on him. You have laid it on him. Yeah, you have laid it on him. He didn't intend for it to come out like that. He didn't intend, thank God, for some of us to have the victory that we got today. He didn't intend for us to have the spirit that we have today. He didn't intend for us to feel toward our brothers like we feel toward them. He intended to start a fuss and cause division and tear down. But I'll tell you what it does, brother. A lot of times it just builds up. I'm going to tell you, every one of you that's a Christian has something down inside of you that ain't 1 ounce afraid of the devil. Not one bit. Does not make any difference what he says. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within this world. Hallelujah. Thank God. He's helping to build our character. I remember when my skin was kind of straight and stretched tight, you know, and I wasn't fat either. I remember when I was like some of these guys out here. And I thought, man, I sure would like to be like that older brother. Oh, how I'd like to preach like Brother Claude Ely. Oh, how I'd like to preach like Brother Jeff Utter. Oh, how I'd like to be like some of them. I didn't know that the devil was trying to help me to get up to that place right there. Not that he intended to do it. But he just had a job on his hands that he couldn't stop. Don't you misunderstand, Brother Hudson. Now, I'm not trying to put myself up with some of the top preachers. I'm simply telling you today that the devil has lost this battle. And I do not care what he does to the people of God. He has lost this battle. And you are the winner in it. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You're glad it didn't stop there. That's where the devil would like to stop the scripture, right there. But I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost wrote a little bit more about that. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now you tell me which one's going to hurt the people of God. Now you tell me which one's going to put us down when the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The devil loses again. He loses again. He loses again. First Peter chapter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. You know, the trial of our faith is more than believing that Jesus was the Son of God. It's more than believing in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. This is all basics, but we need to do this. But you know, the trial of our faith is more than that. That wasn't what you brethren was tested on, Brother Miller. The devil intended to take your life, son. He lost. And it wasn't a trial over whether you believed that Jesus was part of the Trinity or whether you believed in water baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Or whether you believed that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. But that faith, that trial of that faith was our confidence in God. That we believe that God's going to help us regardless of how the trial and the test is. That we believe the Lord's going to set us up above that. I'm going to tell you that gold is pretty precious. We got to all have a little bit of what it represents to make it to Allentown. Allentown's got to have a little bit of what it represents to make this gold to carry it on. And as far as the natural man is concerned, that gold is precious. But he said something about our faith being more precious than that of gold that perisheth. But not just our faith that's more precious. The trial. The trial of our faith. The trial of our faith. Not just our faith, the trial of our faith. Being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. He giveth the highest comparison that you could compare it with, more precious than gold. And then he told how it was going to be tried, going to be tried with fire. And then he told at the end of it how it was going to be rewarded, that it might be found under praise and honor and glory. I've seen people walk across this stage right here. And I thought to myself, I probably ought not take this microphone down, but I thought to myself, you know what we ought to do? We ought to just stand up and give me. I've seen people walk up here to sing, and I felt the same way. Lord, just give them a hand. I've looked at pastors and evangelists and laity. It's really been put to the test. And I thought, man, they deserve a hand. But if we could hear heaven when they come through that trial, and the devil dropped his head down low and heads off out of the camp of the saints, hallelujah, he backs out of there saying, man, I can't handle them. I wish I knew what to do to stop them. I wish there's something I could do to fight that bunch down. Buddy, you talk about feeling something. You talk about a hand clap in heaven. You talk about heaven a welcome of us. You talk about heaven applauding us. I believe they do it. The devil's got a full-time job in helping to perfect the saints of God. Hallelujah. The trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Thank God. It's going to be tested that way. But the important thing is this. God needs a Job in every generation. And I'll tell you how I feel. He needs a bunch of them. I know God has Josephs. I'm acquainted with a bunch of God's Josephs. But their brothers sell them into Egypt. Yeah. I'm acquainted with that. I've had my faith tested right there. And I know a bunch of folks that's had their faith tested right there. I'm going to tell you how God intended it. When they come down to the end of that, and He made Himself known to them, and he began to weep. You know, it seems like God will put it on that leader a lot of times to make them first steps. Help me, preachers. Seems like He'll lay it on them pastors, them evangelists a lot of times to make them first steps. It wasn't Judah that wept first, really, you know, I mean, is trying to get things back together. It wasn't Simeon that wept first, it was Joseph. It was the man that done no wrong. Amen. It was like Job, you know. He's the one that prayed first. They got their healing first before his captivity was turned. Amen. God, somehow or another, just lays it on them leaders right there. Man, the devil fills your mind full of a lot of things, don't he? It ain't going to happen that way. It ain't going to happen that way. It's going to turn out different. Thank God you're going to be the victor instead of the victim. He's the victim. He's the one that's going down. He's the one that's going to hell. He's the one that's going to suffer eternally for this. Thank all it's going to do for you, just make you rise up above things. Going to give you a better attitude. Going to give you a better spirit. Thank God people are going to appreciate you more. I come down here intending to hit him as hard as I could. You ain't about to know what's been happening to me. Except my message. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's been a lot of time when I got right down in that brook in the lowest part of that land there. And I picked up me something to put old Goliath down. I didn't have it when I was on the hillside to put him down. I really didn't. But when I got down in that brook, the lowest level, I got a hold of me something. Hallelujah. They put him down. I want to tell you something. Every message is a blessing to you. It ain't just prayed down. I want you to understand, Brother Hudson, today, every message that's a blessing to you is not just prayed down. There is some of this, brother, that our lives just bring it. The way we have lived, thank God. Our attitude that we have had in some things. Some of the best messages I ever had in my life. I got them right out of the valley, right in the brook, thank God. Right where David picked the stones up. Hallelujah. The devil didn't intend it that way. He was trying to destroy me. But as I got down in that brook, I found me something to defeat him with. And all of his help. You know what really happens to the Christians? But the more they afflicted them, the more they grew and multiplied. You've been praying for revival? Been praying for an increase in your ministry? There ain't but one way to bring it, boys. Amen. That's to have some skirmishes. That's to have some fights. Hallelujah. 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 When you have them battles, you'll be the one that wins. He'll have to step aside and let you take the pulpit again. He'll have to step aside and let you get up there and portray that good spirit again. Hallelujah. You cannot defeat it. We're the ones that wins in this. The more that he afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. I'm going to tell you that the way the early church growed was through persecution. If they had been left alone, they would not have grown like they did. This gospel would not have been scattered like it's been scattered. If they had been left alone, but God took the works of the devil and put the gospel through the whole world, brother. He intended for evil, but God meant it for good. That's what Joseph said to him a long time ago. Said, you intended for evil, but said God meant it for good. It didn't hurt him. It didn't really hurt him. Man, it got all them rough bumps off of him, and he was able to hold that number two position and not let it go to his head and treat them Egyptians right, and he treated the Israelites right, even them that had wronged him. The devil don't like that. He does not intend for it to turn out that way. But you see, he has a full-time job in helping to perfect the people of God. Amen. How many of you gardens? Raise your hands. How many of you gardeners? I mean, you like to do it, whether you're a gardener or not. You like to plant it, you know. You just like to do it. Now, I don't know all I need to know. I was raised on the farm. I depend on mom and daddy to do a lot of things, and I didn't even realize it. And I suppose I've been that way with my church a lot of times. I depended on them to do a lot of things and didn't even realize it. When it come time to plant the okra after I got away from home, I planted it thick like they planted it, but I planted it about that deep. All I had was Bermuda grass. And getting no okra. And that Bermuda grass just took that over. And I decided one day, I think I'll just go out there and clean that thing out anyhow. So I grabbed my hoe, and I scraped off just about that much of that dirt and got that Bermuda grass off of there. 2 or 3 days later, I had the finest stand of okra. Man, I mean, it come out of there. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to plant over about a half inch deep. I'd put it down there about 2 inches deep or a little bit more. Amen. But I mean, I got a stand of okra when I got that Bermuda grass scraped off of that, got some of that dirt off of it. And that's been the same way it's been, brother, with a lot of my tests in this. After I've got the Bermuda grass off of it and a little bit of the dirt off of it, praise God, I got a good stand of what the Holy Ghost was trying to bring up in me. Hallelujah. Y'all know what fertilizer does to your ground, don't you? You that does garden a little bit and plant a few things. You know what fertilizer does to the ground, don't you? It does the same thing to the plants as persecution and trials. Afflictions does to the soul for the Christian. It fertilizes. and just makes bigger plants, healthier looking plants, better fruit. You know, when Mount St. Helens erupted out there and all of that ash spewed out of there, I mean, it just covered things. It destroyed timber, and some people was killed in it because they wouldn't take the warning. Amen. But you know what happened to that apple crop the next year? Bumper, bumper, bumper crop. Amen. That ash, all it done was just fertilize that. Thank God. And when the apples growed on them trees, some of the best apples, some of the juiciest apples, some of the biggest apples, and that's the same way that afflictions does to the people of God, brother. It just fertilizes things. Hallelujah. It makes love in more abundance. It makes patience come out in more abundance. Thank God, brother. It brings the fruit of the Spirit out better than what it would if it did not happen. I'm getting ready to close. I just appreciate everything that God Almighty has allowed to come my way. I don't mean those things that I've stumbled and made a mess in, you know, and I got into it through my own ignorance and things like that. I don't mean that. I'm just talking about things, you know, that I was trying and trying hard and wanted things to work good and it fell apart. It just didn't work right. Amen. That's the kind of things I'm talking about. Amen. That's when God takes over, brother. I mean, that's when the Holy Ghost takes over. It's when I get down on my face and I say, oh God, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. I don't want to hurt nobody, Jesus. Lord, I want everybody to go to heaven. Hey, brethren, don't misunderstand. Amen. I've got a standard. I've got a standard in my heart. Amen. You have one too. But you want everybody to make it, don't you? You want everybody to make it. The devil intends to tear fellowship up. I hate it when he sows some of them lies that he sows. I do. But I'll tell you, I love it when people are big enough to rise up above that and say we're going to go to heaven, will you, regardless if it hair-lips the devil? If you can hear him talking, he's talking like this anyhow. He can't talk plain no how. Devil has a full-time job helping to perfect the people of God. You're greater today than what you was before some of these things happened to you. Do not despair, for they're God's fertilizer to grow better things in your life. God bless you.